Oliver, why don't you bring in your patient? Because as we go through this day, I want to integrate actual patient care. What was the situation with this 75-year-old man?
So he had a 75-year-old, and he had a radical prostatectomy about 5 years before, had a recurrence, and received salvage radiation for that recurrence, and it didn't work. And then his PSA was going up, and it turned out that his PSA doubling time was about 8 months. And that carries some implications for me. We talked about whether or not we wanted to start androgen deprivation, and there's a lot of controversy over when we ought to start. In fact, as I don't think any of us really know the answer to that. He was getting pretty nervous, and that PSA was going up, and he wanted it to start, and so we did. And
what was his kind of life situation?
Well, he was a retired attorney, and he had a pretty active lifestyle, and his sort of expectation is he was going to live for probably longer than I thought he was going to live. He didn't ever think he was going to die, but that's okay. He was afraid of the PSA, and it's a common problem. We have a lot of PSA anxiety out there, and there's little you can do to say, it's going to go away, don't worry about it. So we did make the choice of androgen deprivation. He had non-metastatic disease.
Can I just clarify, what was his PSA at that point?
At that point, we were actually started androgen deprivation with a PSA of 4.6.
So, Bob, I know you've been very vocal in conversations I've had with you over the years about this issue of when to start androgen deprivation and PSA-only disease. How about this situation, 75-year-old man, doubling time of 8 months, 4.6 PSA?
I tend to take a lot of time talking to people about the implications of ADT. I worry about the 10% increase in body weight that many patients experience. It concerns me a great deal, and I think that it's the lack of objective evidence that can allow us to be straightforward. I tend to use doubling time, but I image based on shortening doubling time, and with established metastatic disease, which is still clearly very early, I will consider ADT. It's just been my practice to be, I guess I'm an old guy and I'm worried about making old guys get heavy and impact on their blood sugar control in the absence of evidence that I'm actually helping him. But there's no right answer, and it's a challenge.
And in this specific situation, how do these numbers strike you?
I would not have initiated therapy.
Susan, would you have started therapy?
I would not. You know, the funny thing is, depending on the Gleason score, there's such heterogeneity about how the cancers will ultimately behave. And some of these patients, you just want to sit it out and really try to get a sense of let it declare itself. So I would not. I would have, again, I agree with Dr. Dreiser, I probably would have waited for the doubling time. And I probably around 10 or 15 might have started just a single agent antiandrogen like bicalutamide, 50 milligrams, intermittently with some success.
Maria, so, would you start or not?
No, I don't think so. I think we will wait. I mean, I agree that is a challenge to find out. But many times what drives us to do something is a reaction to the patient's anxiety, and I think that's an important point. So we've been studying the natural history of patients with biochemical relapse for many years at Hopkins, and we have like 17,000 patients in our database. And I sort of go and tell the patients the story. So in a patient who has a PSA doubling time of 8 months, if we start counting from, let's say, a PSA of 0.2, our data suggests that if you do nothing, that's the original data from Hopkins where patients were not treated until they developed bone metastasis. So the data on someone who's got PSA doubling time of 8 months, if you do nothing, it will take in excess of 5 years until they develop bone metastasis. And if you then diagnose bone metastasis, the survival is somewhere around 6 to 7 years. So there's time for it, and the patients usually accept that easier.
So I'm glad we're starting out with a little bit of controversy here, but I have to go back to you three and say, Bob, PSA, the doubling time's 4 months. That change what you do?
I'd image. But if I don't see metastasis, I'm not compelled to start ADT. I mean, I use it to guide imaging and use therapy when I see metastatic disease.
So describe the numbers that would get you to treat.
In terms of just a whole number?
Just PSA, the PSA level, the PSA, any PSA double.
In the absence of symptoms, the only settings.
You don't treat.
No. PSA. You have a patient who comes in, he's 8 months out from a radical prostatectomy, he has a Gleason 10 tumor, positive nodes, his PSA is 5. I'm going to treat the patient without overt disease. But in terms of the heterogeneity that we're talking about, you know, some of these patients have extraordinarily long natural histories. And I think we've learned that, you know, I tell people all the time, if ADT was pooling spring water, we would apply it liberally, no problem. It isn't.
So what were you thinking at that point, Oliver?
Well, you know, interesting case, and I love the discussion. And one of the things that I think may not be in the room, but the urologist who would typically have started with a PSA of 0.2 and rising, and I think the prevalence in the United States, the practice in the United States, is to treat early with ADT too early, and actually just made note in an editorial that we really don't have a clue. But this fellow's PSA anxiety was, he was basically going to go down the street, get somebody else to have him treated, if I didn't treat him. And that's a common scenario, because in America we all have choices about where we go for health care. And he was very anxious and he wanted to do something about it. So I used a 6-month intermittent hormones. I initiated that before the New England Journal from Juanita Crooks and all was out from the intermittent therapy. But at the same time, 6 months of hormones, what we did, and got a good response. And then there's good data to show that if you have a prolonged time to recovery, that you can do very, very well, and he had a pretty prolonged time to recovery, so.
What's his current situation?
He is just restarted the second cycle of ADT after being off for about 11 months. He did recover his testosterone.
And what was his quality of life like during the recovery? Did it improve or change?
He felt more energetic. His primary problem was fatigue. And I think one of the things that Matthew's helped to help us understand is, you know, a lot of the effects of sarcopenias and osteoporosis, you know, a little muted when you have short-term effects. It's these long-term cumulative effects that really add up. Short-term hot flashes, sexual dysfunction, and some fatigue, maybe some emotional issues. This guy actually felt better because his PSA was down, and he was all excited about that.
Any comments about this case, William?
Well, I'm going to defend Oliver here and just say that obviously in the room with these patients, it's very, very difficult because of all the variables that you heard from all of us that we incorporate. In Oliver's editorial, which came out in the New England Journal, he points out that really there's no studies that tell us in the rising PSA population when and how to start hormonal therapy. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of personal decision making that comes really related to the patient and their physician around what's right for each individual patient.